Amen, amen. Amen. Thank you, Hannah. Appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 2 this morning. Appreciate you being here. God bless you. Thank you, ladies. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse number 1. First Kings chapter 2, verse number 1. When we come to this passage, David has lived his life. He's been king for about 40 years, and he's coming to the end of his life. David has not always done exactly everything he was supposed to do, but God called him a man after his own heart. Why was there so he was perfect? He didn't say that. By the way, if you wait to be perfect to be a person after God's heart, none of us are going to be able to do that. But that means we can be a person after God's heart, even though there's times when our sin gets the best of us. I don't mean that doesn't give us an excuse. But the fact is, sin has gotten the best of all of us somewhere along the way. Hopefully not what David did, but sin gets the best of us from time to time. But when he was confronted with his sin, he sought him. He went back to God. He admitted his sin. He asked to be cleansed by the blood. If you go back in the Psalm 51, I think it is. 51. Psalm 51. So he was a man after God's heart. He didn't always do everything right. Now, he's about time for him to pass on. I won't go through all the story. But it's time for Solomon, his son, which, by the way, is the son of Bathsheba and David. Of course, Bathsheba was part of the sin. It's amazing when God, when we confess our sins, God faithful and just forgives our sins, cleanses all righteousness. It's amazing how God can make all things to good. Those are what God can do. And it's time for him to turn the kingdom over to his son, Solomon. And that brings us to this passage in 1 Kings chapter 2. It says, now the days, verse 1, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. In other words, I'm living my life and things are going, and this is what happens with all of us. He says, be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies. Let me read it as if, because there's a grammatical inference here. You can say it this way, verse 3, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and to keep his commandments and to keep his judgments and to keep his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord, he says, do that, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, in other words, be a person after God's heart, there shall not fail thee, said he. This is what God said. A man on the throne of Israel. He's saying, we can keep this going. If you will be a person after God's heart, just as God promised me, he's promised you. And we can keep this going as long as we're willing to keep our side of the deal. We're going to talk about this topic this morning. We're going to pray and talk about show thyself a man. Show thyself a man. Saw that in verse number 2. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. And Lord, I thank you for our dear folks with the faithfulness and the consistency. We do pray for those who are away from us and those who have lost loved ones here in the last week. And pray to take care of those needs. But Lord, we come to your word here this morning. Again, Lord, we could probably stand up and do a lot of things and everybody could pat each other in the back and we can go home and say we've had Father's Day. And yet, Lord, as God told Jeremiah to tell the people, he said, if my prophets speak, if it turns us from sin, then it's from me. If it doesn't, then it's probably not from me. God told Jeremiah to tell the people, he said, if my prophets speak, if it turns us from sin, then it's from me. If it doesn't, then it's probably not from me. So, Lord, I pray that we'll be able to walk just a little closer to you today. I want to be encouragement. We have hope. There may be some folks in here who have said, well, I've blown it too long, too badly. No sense in trying now. But, Lord, that's not true. As long as we're living and breathing and you're still on the throne, which is not going to change, we have hope. So, Lord, help us. Speak to our hearts. There may be some little fine tunings in our lives we may attend to. It may be some pretty big choices and decisions. And Lord, I pray that maybe we speak not only to the men in our room here, but the ladies as well. That we will rise up and do what we need to do to be a person after your heart. So we ask this morning that you help us understand what it means to show thyself a man. We give the praise in Christ's name. Amen. You know, we hear different phrases like, be a man. Big boys don't cry. Or it's time to man up. Put your pants on. You know? I remember a day when men were men and women were glad of it. You know? We live in a crazy world that is trying to mix all that up. And I'm not trying to be mean, but we have, you know, some folks who are not sure which they are. And I'm not trying to be mean, but our world has just gone really kind of crazy. And this is the craziness that happens when we think we can cast aside God's order in the universe. We have come to a point that our society wants to make fun of the design that God has clearly given us and disesteem the male role in our society. It's almost like the world is trying to convince us to be embarrassed to be a man. Men are bad. Men are stupid. Men are ignorant. Men are the reason for all of the ills in the world. Now, to be honest with you, we haven't always done exactly what we're supposed to do. And we need to take some responsibility. And by the way, it's not unmanly to admit that you messed up. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. And that happens in the family too. Sometimes we've got to say, I messed that up. Sometimes we'd rather lead our family astray continuously than to back up and say, well, I was wrong back here about 4 years ago, but I'm not going to go back here and change this, so we're just going to keep going down the wrong path. It's amazing how pride can do things like that. You know, if Adam had stood up and been the man of his house and refused the fruit and shook it out of the hand of his wife, we wouldn't be in this mess. He should have demanded her to drop it. It's his responsibility. The man is to be the head of the house. And when the man is not the godly head of the house, there's no real head present, and the poor woman has to try to fill a need that God never intended for her to have to fill. 1 Timothy 2:14 says, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Adam was not deceived. They say, well, see, I'm smart enough not to be. No, but you were dumb enough to sin anyway. You see what I'm saying here? Listen, he was probably, you know what? He was just not willing to stand up and be the man and say no. She probably said, hey, this looks good. And it's free, even without coupons, and that you better fill up now because I'm not making any dinner tonight. And he says, yes, ma'am. And the wimp of a man who was not deceived caved in like a house of cards. When we remove God's right to call the shots in our world, we are removing his hand of blessing as well. There are many definitions of what a man is. For some, it means you don't cry when you're hurt. Some think that being a man means being the headstrong, stubborn, know-it-all that pushes people around. Some people think that being a man means being a hard-headed bully. He refuses to be taught anything by anyone because he's not going to let anyone tell him what to do. He's a macho man. Actually, a real man ought to be a wise man. But wisdom is an accumulative process. You know, we turn 18, all of a sudden we think we know it all. Now it is. And then when we turn 25, we realize we were stupid when we were 18. Then when we turn 40, we realize we were stupid when we were 25. Proverbs 1:5 said, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. That means he doesn't have all the wisdom he needs. He's smart enough to know that he doesn't. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb, the interpretation, the words of the wise, their dark sayings. Proverbs 9:9 says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. As soon as a man realizes he doesn't know everything, but God does, then he's starting to go on the right track to be a man. Now, God has a definition of what a male needs to do in order to be a man. You may not be able to shoot a three-pointer. You may not be very good at pitching a baseball. You may not be a mechanic or a home improvement guru. You may not be into NASCAR or hunting or fishing. You may not be able to press 250. As much as I think men should be men and that to be a male means to carry the load and bear the burden, I think that's important. We ought to be able to do that. When David tells his son Solomon to be the man, he lists a different set of criteria. Let me give you number one. The responsibility to be a man, not an option. The responsibility to be a man. David says to his son, Solomon says, you're getting ready to take on a lot here. You're going to take on the kingdom. You're going to be the leader. You're going to have to be prepared. And it says in verse 1, it says, now in the days of David, 2 Kings 2:1, the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son. That doesn't mean he gave him a bill. Well, I've been feeding you for 25 years. About time you start paying. I give you a bill. I charged him. No. It says it means a personal command. He gave his son a personal command. Command. He charged him. Verse 2, he says, I go the way of all the earth. He's saying, son, life is a process that we all go through. I go the way of all the earth. Life is a process that we all go through and always will. We live. We honor our duty and our obligations. And we die. And then we give an account of ourselves to God. When we die, life just begins if you know Christ as Savior. So I'm going to get all the gusto I've got right now. I said, listen, you're going to want to have done right here because all the goodies is coming later. Now, you're not saved by your works. You're saved by grace through faith, not of works as any man should boast. On the other hand, we stand before God. We're going to be awful glad when we've lived for Him. Life's a process. So He says, be thou strong, therefore. He says, you listen, we're gonna go the way of the world. We live, we take care of our obligations, our responsibility, we do what we've been called to do, and then we die. Therefore, he says, I want you to be strong. That word strong means seize the moment. Seize the moment. Now, that moment may be 70, 80 years, but he says, seize the moment. Don't waste your life. He said, fast. That means to fasten on to the situation. Be courageous, not swerving from the call. Be constant. Watch, even obstinate about the task. I'm going to be the man. Well, why don't we? I'm going to be the man. He says, and show thyself a man. Be a man about this calling on your life. To charge, he said, I charge you. An order has been given by a commanding officer. This is your responsibility. It is the man's responsibility to lead and to do so in a godly manner and fashion with his wisdom. It says, to show thyself a man. That word, in fact, you've got Old King James, it's S-H-E-W rather than S-H-O-W, shoe. That word, shoe, however you want to pronounce it, means to exist as, to become as, to make it come to pass. He says, I want you to exist as a man. Your life is that you're a man. You're not a girl. Nothing wrong with being girls. I like girls. But I ain't one. And I don't want to be one. And even if you want to be one, God's given us a charge that says, be a man. I made you a man. Be a man. I don't feel like it. I enjoy being a girl. I'm not trying to make fun of folks. Listen, we need a... God made you that. Seize it. He says, be a man, a male, a bearer of the burdens, a champion of high degree. David didn't say that a man should be able to kill a lion and a bear with your bare hands by the time you're a teenager, though he did. He didn't say you should be able to kill a giant with a couple stones, though he did. He didn't say you should be able to inspire men to follow you. He did. He didn't say a real man rules kingdoms. He says, be a man. He watched. Look at verse 3. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God. That's what a man is. Stands up on truth. Isn't pushed away from truth. Be a man. Stand on truth. Keep the charge. That word keep means to hold to guard, to attend to. Make it an object of special attention and consideration. You don't give in. You don't give up. You don't give out. You stay with it your entire life. Keep the charge, the guard, the watch. Be a sentry. Take custody of it. Be responsible for it. For its preservation, to take on the duty to safeguard. It is our turn to be on guard duty. This is the process of life. And if we drop our ball during our term, our time to carry it, where's the next generation going to be? Are they going to be able to find us faithful? He said, I want you to be a man. Now, I'll be honest with you. Over the generations, a lot of men who dropped the ball and a lot of boys have been raised without a man in the house. And they've been raised with a domineering woman, now hang on, who had to take charge because it wasn't a man taking charge. But the fact is, she's still a girl. And she's going to do things differently. You've heard me say that. Listen, when the boy falls down, skins his knee, the father says, get up, walk it off. And the mother goes, oh, come over here, let me kiss it, make it better. The fact is, they need them both. They need them both. They need that little nurturing and little encouragement. The fact is, though, we got to learn up. We got to stand up. You can't cry there and rub your bruised knee when you're on the battlefield trying to protect your family. You can't do that. No time for that. I broke a nail. Well, you know, I can't fight now. Broke a nail. You see what I'm saying? We've got to have men. He said, keep the charge. Attend to this being a sentry. It's on our watch. There's a process of life, but it's on our watch. We're still alive. It's not our time to die yet. So we're still on charge. The charge is given to us by the Lord thy God. He says, keep the charge, verse 3, of the Lord thy God. He made us this way. It's our charge. There's no higher power. There's no higher commander than the Lord our God. And we're given a holy command and the duty by the most powerful authority of the universe. Listen, now this is going to take some studying on our behalf. We may have to change our thinking to match God's thinking. We may have to swallow our pride to be a man. We might have to risk coming down off our high horse to be a man. We may think that folks who lose respect for us, but if we must risk that in order to be right with God and lead those around us toward God, then we must be the man and take that risk. It takes more of a manly person to admit he needs to change than it does to just punch out the one who questions us. We may have to give up some things to keep the charge. We may have to stop being selfish. Stop thinking about ourselves. Leadership is responsibility and not so much a privilege. But God, the Lord God, as the process of life goes, has charged us, guys, be the man. So we have a responsibility. Number two. I want you to see the requirements of a man. The requirements. Verse 2, I'm going to back up. I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, semicolon. What's he saying? All right, I'm going to explain it to you. Watch. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, how? To walk in his ways. To keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies. Let's go back here. To walk in his ways. That word walk is just kind of like, well, this is his walk of life. It's his normal behavior. This is it means to be conversant in, consistent in manner. It's your exercise of life. By the way, one strategically planned weekend of being a responsible man does not fulfill our duty. Because you see, this is the way of life. To walk in his ways. Being a man means you're today and tomorrow. And Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, when we had a little kid who used to sit there. The little kid was playing in the yard one day, and she must have learned the days of school. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. She was going through, and she had a little song about that. By the way, that's when you're supposed to be a man. Sunday, by the way, Sunday's the first day. That's called the Lord's Day. That's part of being a man. Sunday through Saturday. He says the walk, his ways, the walk is his way through life. His ways means his road, his course, his custom, his conversation, his manner of life. To walk in the Lord's, his ways, the Lord's ways, the way, the custom that God would do, the way God would handle this. That's how we're supposed to do it. To go through life in God's course of life. To behave as God would behave in the same place in life. He says we're supposed to walk in our ways, and how's that? To keep his statutes. Again, the word keep means to hold on to, the guard, to attend to make a special attention to keep his statutes. Statutes are appointed, customs, manners, ordinance, enactments, appointments, your rules of life. This is what we do, to keep God's ways, God's statutes, not our statutes. Well, Mama always said, well, my daddy, you know, well, that's fine. I'm glad you knew Mom and Dad and Grandma and Grandpa and Aunt, that's all fine and dandy. But the fact is, to be a man, according to God's charge, is to walk in his ways. You know, we like to dig our heels in and not budge as if that's some kind of noble thing. But it's only a noble thing if you're holding to God's statutes and not being stubborn about our own rules of life. We have four kids, And they came from Janet and I. Now, I put her in there just because I don't want to take all the blame. But our kids are strong-willed. That's not bad. It's good. But you've got to train those arrows. Happy is a man whose quiver is full, right, Dan? I like when they come in, they all sit here together. I just like his family. It's a bunch of them. I don't know how Kelly feels about all the kids, but I know she loves them. I just like it. Your kids come in, they're friends. They talk to their parents like they're real people. I like it. Keep it up. When you go to your teen years, you think you know it all. Don't stop. Keep it up. Mom and dad are pretty smart folks. Listen, I like that. You got to train those kids. But you get them pointed in the right direction, you let that string let go, boom, they're going to go do something in life. They're not your enemy. God's giving you a great responsibility. Train them. How? In the ways of the Lord. How? Be a man. And walk in his, keep his statutes, his rules of life. Let her see, to keep his commandments, his ordinances, his law. Watch this. Have you accepted God's law as your law of life? That's what he's saying. Have you accepted God's law as your law? That's what it means to keep his commandments. To guard it, to attend to. It doesn't mean that we keep the Bible in a nice little place, we put it underneath glass. Not doing any good if it's not in our heart. To keep his commands, what? To keep his judgments. A judgment is to come to a right and just and proper verdict. To pronounce a sentence, to be just, to be able to make the judgment call suit the crime. Suit the action according to God's way of thinking. To make good decisions, to call things the way God calls them. Listen, are you ready to have the wisdom to judge things as God sees them, or do you just call them as you see them? He says, you're going to be a man. You got a responsibility, and this is the way of life. It's always been like we all have our turn to seize the moment. Now, if we're going to seize the moment God's way, we ought to be able to see things God's way. We're supposed to walk in the path that he walks. Well, how are you going to do that? By doing the same thing he does. By making his law your law. By the way he would judge it, that's how we do. Well, I don't know if it makes a whole lot of sense. Someone else is going to laugh at him. Someone's going to, listen, is God happy with it? Is it what his word says? Well, then do it. Do it, do it, do it, do it. Be strong and of a good courage, he told Joshua. Because he said, you're going to be hard to stay on the word of God. You're going to be chicken sometimes. Because to do what God says is going to mean you got to go out on a limb. But if God's out there on a limb saying, come, it's no different than when God said to Peter, hey, come out on the boat. Now, the only reason that Peter fell was because he got looking at the waves instead of Jesus. But what happened when he started to fall? He looked back to Jesus and said, Lord, save me. So he goes further away from the boat. Not toward the boat. Jesus wasn't in the boat. Jesus was out in the water. So when he started to question and started to fall, he said, oop, I got my eyes on the wrong thing. He looked back to Jesus and said, Lord, save me. We give old Peter a hard time, but he didn't walk on water. How many did you see that thing about walking on water on the news? You got these pads out there. You can walk on water and all this. Who was it? Stan was saying, you put some gal put water down the sidewalk. And said, look, I'm walking on water. Listen. We want to tell you anything we want to say, but the fact is, God can do it when we do it God's way. So we got to keep his judgments, make decisions according to him. It says to keep his testimony. To keep his testimonies. In other words, to live out what God teaches. To show by our actions that we say we believe him. You know, a lot of folks will say, well, do as I say, not as I do. You're not keeping his testimony. Our lives should be a witness in support of what God teaches. Our lives should be a witness in support of what God teaches. I would say this, there's an awful lot of folks who actually witness the opposite to their children. We go to church, we listen, we say amen, and here, oh, we're going to do this, and then we fudge on it here, we disesteem his day here, we do as we please here, we say God's word is true, but we're we're still out getting drunk. I'm serious. I'm sorry. You know what we're teaching our kids? Not the testimony of God. We're not teaching them to fear God. We're teaching it. It's something to go. He's a big Santa Claus. When you have trouble, we pray. Otherwise, we do as we please. That's not being the man as God has charged us to be. I'm sorry. It's tough stuff here, isn't it? He says the statutes and the testimonies and commands. He says, is this your living example, the ways of God? And then he says, as it is written in the law of Moses. We don't get to make things up as we go along. We don't get to change the rules. We must conform ourselves to the word of God. God made sure that the rules were written down so you can't miss it. There's no mistaking it. We have no right to rewrite it. It doesn't matter how big we are in our own eyes or in the eyes of others. It's His word, His ways, and we've been charged by Him alone to be the man. So we have a responsibility, and that responsibility has requirements in order to fulfill the responsibility. And number three, I want you to see the results. Verse 3 says, keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in His ways, to keep His statutes, His commandments, and His judgments, and His testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. Now, folks, there's an awful lot of folks who do go their own way, and then they complain about God not holding up His end of the deal. Well, He's never done anything for me. Well, have you? Wait a minute. Who came first, you or Him? So it's not about what He's done for you. It's what you've done for Him. He's the Father. We're the kids. And He gave His word. If we'll be the man and do what we've been called to do, He says, I'll make you prosper in your way. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be rich. It means you're going to make some headway. So you're going to make progress. You're going to get some things done. Listen, there's some people who born and they die and they go the way of life and all they've done is go in circles or no better off. In fact, they're probably worse off than they were when they were born. And I'll tell you why. They didn't do it God's way. I'm sorry. Now again, I'm not saying you're going to be rich. I know folks who were born not so wealthy, and they die not so wealthy. But they enjoy the trip because they walked with Him. Now, just being poor does not make you more spiritual. I know some folks who say, like, well, I'm poor, so I'm more spiritual. Because I'm rich, I'm more spiritual. You know, that has nothing to do with anything. God is to give us this day our daily bread. He gives us what we need at the time, no more, no less. He's going to give you a rope, but not enough to hang yourself. He can trust you with a little bit more. He'll give you a little bit more. Be faithful with what you've got. Be faithful with little. He'll give, make you ruler over much. See, sometimes I think we forget that God is still in control. He still makes the rule when He says, be the man. Then we ought to be the man. He says, this is how you do it. Well, then that's how we do it. He says that thou mayest prosper. Now, this is interesting. That little phrase there says, to prosper, says to act intelligently, the ability to be circumspect, to be an expert in, to make progress, to go in a forward motion, to have success as opposed to failure. It says, just do this so that you will prosper in all that thou doest. Everything you're doing, you're making, you're accomplishing, you're executing, busy doing, in all. He says, I'll work with you. It'll be all right. And he says, whithersoever thou turnest thyself. In other words, this will work no matter where you are headed, assuming you're headed in a pleasing way to the Lord. But he says, listen, no matter where you go, wherever life takes you, as long as you're following the Lord, he says, I'll make you to prosper. I'll take care of you. Well, man, we just got a phone call and everything just changed. He says, okay, God knew all about the phone call long before. Okay. I got a couple of phone calls this week I didn't like. Kind of stuff that shakes you up. God knows all that stuff. I'm healthy. That's not what I'm talking about. But this stuff, dealing with stuff. Matthew Henry says that when it says to make you to prosper, he says to succeed with honor and satisfaction in every undertaking. Psalm 34:9 says, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success, Joshua 1:8. He says, listen, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, look at verse 4, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me. He says that, in other words, with the purpose that the Lord will continue to rise, to abide, to confirm, to strengthen, to continue to accomplish his word, his promises, which he spake concerning me. In other words, God has a plan, and his plan continues his work as long as we continue to work the plan. You cannot expect God to bless us out in the muck and the mire. He's saying, here's a promise from God that cannot lie. If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. God has given us a promise to take heed, to guard, to attend to, be circumspect about, to look closely to. It says, if your children will look closely to their walk and to walk in truth. We had a Sunday school lesson some months ago, and I talked about walking in truth. You know what that means? Truth makes every decision for you. Truth has veto power. Truth is the commander. To walk in truth is do what truth says. And truth, thy word, is truth. Jesus said, sanctify them. Last night before he was crucified, he's praying for us. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Listen, if we want the blessings that our fathers have had, we have to do what our fathers did. Were they perfect? No. Neither was David. If we want the blessings that our fathers have, we got to do what our fathers have done. And if we want the next generation to do right, we're going to have to do right. The nation is filled up of families. And as the families go, so goes the nation. As the church goes, so goes the family. This is true. But if the family doesn't allow the preaching of God's word to change who they are, the church cannot be held responsible for the family. Church needs to, watch, church needs to change to being more than our Sunday morning schedule. It has to change the heart, and it has to in our whole perspective on life and godliness. We cannot drop the ball. We cannot allow ourselves to be weak link in the process. And the fact is, I understand, and we've been talking this on Sunday night a little bit with Jeremiah. Problem is, there's been an awful lot of churches who've been too willy-nilly, not willing to be the man and speak the truth of God, and now we got a bunch of sissy Christians in our pews who's not willing to stand up and take the charge. Well, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Oh, my soul! You're going to get your feelings hurt. Be a man. Got a couple questions. We're all done. Are you showing yourself a man? I'm talking about the ladies too. We got to stand on truth. We got to back that up. You don't say, well, that's dad. Don't, you know, he's just going off. You know, he gets a little overboard in that church stuff once in a while. Are you showing yourself a man? Do you keep the requirements to walk in his ways? How serious are you about going through life in the customs and manners in which God would have you go? Let me say that again. How serious are you about going through life in the customs and manners in which God would have you go? He says to keep your statutes, his statutes. Is keeping the rules of life according to the Word of God an absolute priority for you? Or is it an option? I'm not saying our times when we get wrapped up and our sin gets the best of us, and we're kind of blinded by our sin, we slipped into something we shouldn't have done. But by the way, we can't fool God. You might be able to fool us, but you can't fool God. God knows whether you're just making an excuse. Requirements, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, says to keep his commandments. Is the word of God law to you? Or do you fudge here and there? Is God's law your law for life? Or are the laws of God's suggestions and optional? It says, and to keep his judgments. Do you make decisions according to God's righteous judgments? Or are you going according to your whims and how you feel that day? Well, I had a bad day. Well, you know what? I mean, I just had a bad day. Just sit down. Are you consistent in your decision making because God never changes? Or do you waffle back and forth? Do you make decisions according to what serves your selfish desires or according to what God has called us to do? And it says to keep his testimonies. What does your life say about you? Does it say you fear God? Psalm 31 says the transgression of the wicked, Psalm 36, 1, transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there's no fear of God before his eyes. Do you live as God would have you live or as the world lives? And then it says, as it is written in the law of Moses, does God's word settle the issue for you? Or is the word of God still up for grabs and debatable? Talking about being a man. Psalm 119:89 says, forever, O Lord, the word is settled in heaven. Thy word is settled forever. Psalm 119:127 says, therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Here it says, I like your rules of life above anything. All gold, and I mean the fine stuff. And then it says, therefore, I esteem, I consider, I decided. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. He said, I've decided that God's word's true. You can't say you love God, trust God, and follow God and if you don't listen to God. I was watching Funniest Home Videos one night, and this little girl had this special box, and she was probably three or four, and she had this special jewelry box that's up on a shelf that's hers, but she's not supposed to touch it until she gets older. And there it was, her mother walks in and finds her up on her little chair looking in this special box. She's not supposed to touch, because it's got fragile things in it, but she's looking in this box, and it's hers, but she's not supposed to be touching it yet, right? And she's looking in there, and her mom says, what are you doing? Nothing. Well, why are you in a chair? Well, I love you, Mommy. You know what? Sometimes we touch things, get into things we're not supposed to do. And when God convinces us and convicts us, oh, I love you, God. Yeah. Just forget what I was just doing. I love you. And then when we're by ourselves again, by the way, reputation, what people think we are, our character is what God and our wife knows we are. It's what we are in the dark when no one's looking. We turn around and say, oh, I love you, God. this is what a man is. Let me say a couple things. I'm all done. Are you too chicken to be a real man because of what others might think? It's tough to stand for God in these days. It is. Being a real man, being a real Christian is not for sissies. This can be difficult. Do you think you're man enough to handle it? God says, I'll go with you. Some men are too scared to bow their head and thank the Lord for their food. Well, I'll do it at home. I'm not going to do it in public. I didn't say, oh, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, thou that did clear the... I'm not talking about that. God's not looking for that either. But man, everybody's looking. You know, they're going to think we're kind of weird, kind of fanatical, bow our head. Watch this. Boy, I just offended everybody in the room, didn't I? You bow your head, you're going to offend them. All right, go ahead, I'll do it again. Man, if that offends you, you got a problem. Oh, come on. Are you that scared of God that a Christian bowing his head scares you off? You can laugh if you want, but listen. Take that. Some men are too scared to name the name of Christ, to say the name Jesus among the boys. Some men are too scared to tell their wives and family that we're all going to church on Sunday, and every time when the doors open, we're going to be there. That's what we're going to do. And some are too scared to say, here we go. By the way, you don't have to say it that way. We're going to church. If you're not good, now, if your wife says you're not going to go to church, go without her. You're a big boy. Go without her. You know how to sit alone in a car where you can sit alone in a pew. You sit alone in a car and listen to the radio and let that thing fill your mind with stuff. Well, sit alone in a pew. Let God fill your heart with something. Some men are too scared to carry a Bible with them. Too scared to give out a tract. No, I'm telling the truth. I'm not trying to be mean. Show thyself a man. It's time to stand up and be counted for God and for the truth and for right. In your marriage, in your home, in your community, at work, among your friends, among your relatives. Maybe you have been showing yourself a man. Maybe you have shown yourself a man periodically. Maybe you've been showing yourself something other than a man than God's definition. I think we need to make some decisions. We need to raise up to the occasion, rise to the occasion, to our responsibilities and our requirements. And you know what? I think God will give us the results. Father, I thank you for speaking to our hearts here this morning. Kind of a tough message. But Lord, it's about time we become a man. Bunch of men will stand around the locker room with pads and helmets on and talk about being a man out there in the football field or on the basketball court or on the mats for the wrestling match. And we'll fight for something that's not going to matter not going to matter for anything. We've been in heaven for 30 seconds. And yet we won't stand up and be a man for you. Lord, it's a tough message, I understand. But it's time for us to stand and be a man. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.